A lot of folk come out there, some of them can't take it. But one thing we do not have a shortage of is sinners. There were two fellas fishing in a boat out in the Columbia River not too long ago. And a fella come walking across the water, right at him. Just walking right on the water. And they got to looking at that, they'd never seen anything like it. Fella come over there and crawl in the boat with him. And they said, "Who are you?" He said, "Well, I'm Jesus." They said, "Oh, you couldn't be." "Well," he said, "I am, and furthermore, your name's Fred." And he said, "You got a bad left shoulder. That's why you can't cast with your left arm. Had it most of your life." Well, the guy said, "That's right." Jesus reached over and touched him. And that quick, he said, "Man, I've never felt so good in 40 years. The other fellow lifted his arms and said, "Don't touch me, don't touch me, I'm on disability."
Yeah.
Now, if that gets close to your fence, we've just begun. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and beginning in verse 14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you.' Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Let's pray. Now, Lord, we want to tell you tonight that there's nothing in the world that we could offer these folks that'd be remotely valuable except you intercede. So, God, I plead by virtue of your blood and your power and your Holy Spirit that you would give us from your book tonight that's what you'd have us to have. And we'll thank you in the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen. Now, testator is one who makes a will or a testament. You've heard the phrase last will and testament. So the testator is the fellow that's making the will. Have you ever pondered, even momentarily, has the notion ever crossed through your mind that you wished that you could be in some rich uncle's will? And he said, "Now, if Uncle Fred had just kicked a bucket and he'd leave me, you know, I mean, did it ever occur to you, I mean, even remotely occur to you, that as he was beginning to draw his last breath, that you ought to go over and visit him? Maybe you ought to fix his front porch or paint his house." Why in the world would you want to do that? Because you're interested in being in the will.
Amen.
Well, I've got news for you. I'm interested in being in God's will. Now, Jesus Christ could not be a testator if he had nothing to give you. But the text very clearly tells us that he is a testator. A will or a testament is the result of the anticipation of dying. If no one planned on dying, no one would draw up a will. We find the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is his last will and testament, in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. Let's look over there. Let's look at some of the things that the Lord wants to leave you. He wants to give you in his last will and testament. Now, I don't know about you, but I want all that the family has to offer. In John chapter 17, here's some of the things that Jesus listed in his last will and testament. And of course, at this point of of his life and his ministry in John 17, he's anticipating the cross. He's anticipating dying. It's a perfect time for a last will and testament. Now in John chapter 17 and verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to give in his last will and testament is eternal life. Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. That's not all. Down verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Now a lot of folk don't believe that. But I think most of the people that are here tonight believe that Jesus Christ's last will and testament included not only eternal life for the child of God, but he said he wanted to give you, as part of his will, his words. Pretty good deal. That way you don't have to guess, you don't have to hope so, maybe so, think so. You can read the last will and testament for yourself. So he says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So the words, look in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So that's part of the Lord's last will and testament. He said he'd like to give you eternal life. He said he'd like to give you his words. Now, when it comes down to the business of a last will and testament, words are very important. It's not an approximate situation. The lawyer drags out the will, and the family scrutinizes it. They labor over it. They want to know every single word. Don't you? I want to know every word. And furthermore, I want to know every word in a language that I can read. So I don't have to trust the lawyer. I want to be able to read the fine print myself. And the Lord's last will and testament was that you could have the words. That's not all. In verse 19, he said, I pray for them, I pray not for the world. The Lord says that he would include in his last will and testament his prayers for you. I guess he does make intercession for us, doesn't he?
Amen.
Look down at verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now the Lord's interested in giving you some glory, as well as eternal life, as well as his words, as well as his prayer. Keep your finger right here, but flip over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look for a second in 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. All right, now what's this excellent voice talking about? Glory, excellent glory. That's what it's talking about, and that's what the Lord would like to give you. That's not all. Back in John 17, verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And then he said he would give us his presence. He elaborated on that from time to time. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, if I could get in on a last will and testament like that, that would be better than any last will and testament that you could possibly get in on the face of the earth. A testator's last will and testament does not become binding until the death of the testator. As you read your Bible, particularly in the book of Hebrews and the book of Romans, as well as other places, but particularly those books, you'll find those books are absolutely punctuated with legal language. And so it's not difficult to understand that even our legal system would be in a greater disaster than it already is if it were not for the Bible. For the very tenets of jurisprudence that we exercise today came from the truth of God's Word. Go back to Hebrews 9, and let's just get confirmation of what we've already read. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. It's common for an individual to have other testaments written prior to the final one. Folks change their will from time to time. Do they not? So it's not all that difficult to understand then why that book is divided and it says there's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. I'm not interested in the Old Testament. I want the most up-to-date new one God's got. And I'm not talking versions either. I'm not interested in the blood of bulls and goats. I'm not interested in keeping the Sabbath day holy. That's the Old Testament. God wrote a brand new one. I want in on that. Don't you? There would be no need of writing the new if it were the same as the old. The new disannuls the old. A testator, to make his last will and testament firm and authentic, calls on others to witness it. That's just a legal procedure, isn't it? Folks, where did we come up with all these ideas that proliferate the legal trade? It comes out of a good old 1611 King James Bible is where that stuff comes from. You go down to the lawyer's office, you say, I'd like to make out my last will and testament. And so you go through all these legal gyrations and manipulations and get it all down on paper. And finally, to have the thing finalized, you have to have some witnesses. And so the Lord knew that. The Lord's the one that established the process in the first place. And so to make his last will and testament firm and authentic, he called others to witness it. Hence the Father himself in John 5 said, this is my beloved Son. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's not all. Look at the language. Go to John chapter 5. You start looking at this. Lawyers would be well advised to read their Bible. In John chapter 5 and verse 36, but I have a greater witness. Notice the word, witness. Legal talk, amen? But I have a greater witness than that of John. Who's speaking? Jesus is. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So not only did Jesus have the witness of his Father, not only did he have the witness of his forerunner John the Baptist, but he had the witness of his own works. That's not all. Verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Legal language. The works of Jesus Christ, the Scriptures testify of him. That's not all. Acts chapter 10. You can come up with at least five different categories of witnesses as to the authenticity of the will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now, a testator in most Eastern ancient countries, get this, signed his last will and testament with his own blood. That was the custom. That was an indicator that he had put a real final seal of approval on it. So your Bible says, this is my blood of the New Testament shed for many. I don't know about you, but I want in on the will. I want in on the will. Every will has to have an executor. Now, an executor is one who stays behind and makes certain that the will is invoked according to the wishes and the dictates of the testator. Go to John chapter 15. In John chapter 15 and verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall what? Testify of me. You know who the Holy Spirit is? He's the executor of the will of the testator, the Lord Jesus Christ. What's his responsibility to testify? That's not all. Verse 27, and ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to be an executor, and as an executor, including you and alerting you to the fact that you are included in the will, tells you that part of your responsibility is to also be a witness of the will. What do you think a witness is? What are you witnessing to and about? You're witnessing that Jesus Christ has left a will. Now, a testator makes provisions, get this, you're going to like this. A testator makes provisions, he makes provisions to have his will published after his death. Isn't that what he's done? Now, there are a lot of folks who say, oh, well, the will got lost. Well, if the will got lost, the will is no good. The will is made null and void. Until the will can be found, no one can claim to be a recipient of anything designated for them in the will. And if you can't find the will, you'll never know for sure if you're included. Now you're getting it. I read a survey some time ago in the state of California. Of course, it kind of goes with California, but in the state of California, 45% of the inmates in mental institutions in the state of California have a Pentecostal or charismatic religious background. 45%, that's a staggering statistic. You know why those people are nuts? Because they don't know from one minute to the next if they're in the will or out of the will. That'd drive you nuts. You go bonkers thinking about that too long. But you see, it is the responsibility of the testator to make absolute provisions to have his will published after his death. He did. He did. Now, the question comes, how can I be included in the will? There was a very, very wealthy man many years ago who possessed a vast treasure of art. The man had one son, one only son, who died in his adolescence. He was a common-looking boy. No particular distinguishing characteristics. Kind of like a root out of dry ground. The boy died in his adolescence, and having loved the boy greatly, the man died a few months later of a broken heart. The will stipulated, the last will and testament stipulated, that everything be sold at an auction, and that an oil portrait of this very ordinary looking son be sold first. A large crowd assembled, people and that were particularly interested in art and expensive art, came from a variety of not only states but countries just to participate in this auction, and hoping that perhaps one of these great art treasures might be purchased by themselves. The portrait of this very ordinary looking boy was set up first, and the auctioneer said, "Do I have a bid?" There was no bid. He said a second time, "Do I have a bid, any bid? Is there a bid out there for the portrait of this young man?" There was no bid. One more time he said, "Is there a bid?" Little old black lady sitting in the back, who had been the boy's nurse, and she loved him, and she cared about him, fumbled around in her purse, and found a grand total of 75 cents. And she said, "Sir, I bid 75 cents. The auctioneer slammed the gavel down, and he said, "This auction is now closed, for the will has provided that anyone who would love the portrait of that boy enough to make a bid would receive the entire inheritance." $0.75 worth of faith could buy you an inheritance beyond your wildest imagination. Could include you in a will that would make Bill Gates look like a piker. He's a testator. He's written a will. Are you in it? I'm in it. I'm in it. It's been published and I've read it from cover to cover. And I keep reading it. And every time I read it, I find something else in there where he included me in a portion of the will I didn't know was there before. And every time I read the will, I say, "Wow, I didn't know he did that for me." It just gets better and better and gooder and gooder. I'm packing the will around and I read it and I say, good night. And one day you and I are going to say good night and good morning. I'm in the family. Are you? Let's pray. Father, I sure am glad that my Lord Jesus left a will. And I'm in it. He included me. And God, peradventure there be even one here that's not included, I pray that very soon, very quickly, the persuasive powers of the executor would persuade him to come to Jesus. And we'll thank you in his name. Amen. Amen.